Hi everyone, this is Peter Lawson, the Flicks the Church Forgot. You're just about to listen to my top 10 favorite witch movies. If you'd like to listen to it in audio format, that's what you're about to get. But as ever, it's also available as a YouTube video. If you'd rather watch that, then you can check that out through YouTube at the channel, The Flicks the Church Forgot. Thanks. Hi everybody, welcome to the graveyard and to the Flicks the Church Forgot. This is the second in a four-part series which is exploring witchcraft, Christianity and horror. Watch the previous episode for my review of Robert Eggers' movie The Witch, including a little discussion of Christianity and Satanism, oh yes. And check out the next two episodes where I'll be sharing an interview I did with a UK witch and also a magazine article I wrote recently on the subject of witches in the Christian church. But for this episode, let me give you a little rundown of my top 10 favorite witch movies. Coming in at number 10, we have the 1990 adaptation of Roald Dahl's book, The Witches. It's one of those kids' movies that is probably a bit too scary to be a kids' movie, which is why I loved it. It's a story where the world is not only packed and inhabited with many witches, but their favorite pastime is to kill children. It's a cheery tale. Angelica Houston stars in this, and there's some freaky Jim Henson music. I seem to recall a kid gets turned into a mouse. It's a great example of Roald Dahl's usual winning cocktail, magical stories with frankly hideous and depressing subtexts. Haxan, Witchcraft Through the Ages, was a silent movie from 1922. That's my ninth choice. It's apparently based, at least in part, on the Malleus Maleficarum, also known as the Hammer of Witches. I had that book out from the library last year, and I got a few funny looks in the coffee shop where I was reading it. Not surprising, I guess, since it's a guide for witch hunters in the 15th century, and it must freak people out when they see one of the ministers reading that. Anyway, Haxan is a documentary with some wild dramatized sequences, but it's got an inherent creepiness that I feel is in silent horror movies and silent movies in general. I especially like the 1968 version of Haxan, which is shorter, sadly, but it does add a funky jazz score and some freaky narration by Naked Lunch author William S. Burroughs. At number 8, I've got The Blair Witch Project from 1999. I didn't see this infamous movie at the cinema, but rather I watched it on DVD, which I reckon was probably the best way of seeing it. In one sense, it was easier to suspend the notion that this was actual found footage when you were viewing it at home, whereas watching that sort of stuff in the cinema doesn't really feel like the right place to watch a home movie. But also seeing it on the small screen was merciful because I felt really quite sick about 45 minutes in due to the shaky cam. I reckon if I'd been in the cinema with a big screen, I'd have been vomiting up on the person in front of me within about 10 minutes. But nausea aside, the film really did creep me out. Of course, this was very near the start of the found footage craze, although of course the last broadcast of the film came before it preceded it. But Blair Witch also had some amazing naturalistic acting, the naive novelty of watching a found footage film, of course. And imagine that could be naive at one point in the novel. And also the ending really gave me the chills. Witchboard is a 1986 horror movie, which is a great little Ouija board film, included here because of the title Witchboard, though frankly, I can't remember there being much witchcraft in it, maybe I'm forgetting. Anyway, in it, Tawny Catane, is that her name? I don't know, messes around with a Ouija board, then thinks she's contacting the spirit of a dead boy called David, but actually no, it's an evil spirit of a murderer who's eager to keep on killing post-mortem. It's one of those mid-80s horrors that ended up with a cult following, which I can vouch for because I think it really is actually an effective little horror movie that came from Kevin Tenney, Night of the Demons guy. And plus, Ouija boards are just, I think, a brilliant suspense device for unfolding a sense of tension in a scene in a film. I reckon Witchboard used that device really quite well. Number 6, I've got Night of the Eagle from 1962. Richard Matheson helped write the screenplay for this 1962 British horror where a skeptical psychology professor discovers that his wife is practicing a Jamaican form of conjuring magic, as you do. He thinks it's all rot, of course, and he makes her burn all of her magic stuff because like he's in charge of her or something. But this seems to have a bad effect and things start going desperately wrong. It's a pretty gripping and atmospheric movie, which I think gets overlooked by many people. It's worth a look if you're on a their Witch movie trip. Mark of the Devil from 1970. I did a review of that, Mark of the Devil, for my podcast, The Audio Thing. But in short, this was the film that came with free sick bags at the cinema and was the first movie to ever to be rated V for violence. Of course, the marketing guys just made that certificate up to make it sound cool. But the film was seen as disgusting, and is kind of disgusting. Inquisitors torture and kill suspected witches in a beautiful castle, with bare bottoms being forced onto chairs made of rusty nails, if that's what you're into. But despite its clear exploitation leanings, I reckon there's still a solid movie to be found here. Herbert Lom, Reggie Nalder and Udo Kier throw themselves into it, but particularly Herbert Lom, who has the best freak-out reaction ever to being called impotent.
Tell them you rape women, you burn innocent people, that you kill for money, that you're impotent!
Number four is Witchfinder General, also known as The Conqueror Worm from 1968. Vincent Price stars in this very nasty-feeling English horror film from the late Michael Reeves. Price is Matthew Hopkins, rushing around on horseback in the British countryside, accusing and abusing folk who have the faintest whiff of witchcraft about them. And it leads to some really particularly distressing and unpleasant scenes. But it hangs together with a great sense of intrigue and pace, and a sense of period, and a depressing sort of glumness, because when you watch this, you just know that this, some of this stuff really did take place. It's got a great and horrible ending, and the folksy soundtrack is currently up on Spotify, and I'm listening to it quite a lot recently. Number three, we've got The Witch, also known as Superstition. Man, I love this film from 1982. It shows a family moving into a creepy old and very big house, which was once the site of a witch's execution. But this witch, like they always seem to do in horror movies, has vowed to return and seek revenge. It's packed with action and grisly murders, including a priest being mutilated by a runaway buzzsaw, and then a severed head exploding in the microwave. I haven't seen this film for ages, so I have no idea how it holds up today, but I first saw it when I was a kid, and it scared the crap out of me, and I loved it. It's got a great soundtrack too, using Desiree, isn't it, to the full funky effect. Ba 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 ba. That thing, you know, the go-to music for horror soundtrack. Anyway, The Witch, in my opinion, would make a great addition to the Arrow Video or Scream Factory lineup, so put that on your list, Arrow. Number two is The Witch, the 2015 version. Robert Eggers' film is both scary and thought-provoking, where a Puritan family venture out into the wilds of American forests, only to end up meeting a witch who wants to liberate them from their beliefs. I won't say much more about it, other than the fact that lots of people hated the film, and loads of other people loved it. If you want to know where I stand, you can check out my in-depth review in the previous episode, but I suppose its presence on this list kind of implies which way I lean. And finally, number one, I have Suspiria. For me, this is remaining Dario Argento's finest film, which is saying something because he really has come out with some crackers, but this is just his best, I feel. Susie Banyan goes to a German ballet school, only to find that it's overrun by witches. There are moments of serious fright in this, but it's the music and art design that really blows you away. It's also got perhaps one of the most exciting thrilling opening sequences of any horror film I've seen. Well, look, that's it. That's my top 10 witch movies. But I suppose I better mention the ones that didn't quite make the list. There are plenty of others. Mario Bava's Black Sunday, for example, with the brilliantly swivel-eyed Barbara Steele. There was a Sean Bean movie that I saw recently, well, a few years back, I should say, about the plague called Black Death. That was a good one, which involved witchcraft. The Hammer movie, The Witch, is starring Joan Fontaine. I was really tempted to include Arthur Miller's The Crucible, as it's such a brilliant play. I love it. But I tend to think of that more as a play than a movie, and I didn't add it because I talked about it a little bit in my last video where I reviewed The Witch. I also wanted to include a segment from Rod Serling's Night Gallery called Since Aunt Ada Came to Stay. Of course, that's TV and not film, so it doesn't quite qualify. Still, though, it's cool. It's a pretty unnerving segment where James Farentino stars and he's suspecting this old lady staying in his house might actually be not Aunt Ada after all, but a shape-shifting witch intent on stealing his wife's young body at midnight. Jeanette Nolan plays Aunt Ada as a full-on stereotypical witch with one of those, like, voices that crackle and croak like something from a fairy tale. it's really like over the top. And when she lifts her veil up, she shrieks loud and it distorts on the soundtrack. And suddenly there's like three of her standing there. It's all really unsubtle. But for a kid watching it, it was terrifying. I saw it as an adult and I was still pretty creeped out. A film that also almost made the list was, it did make the list until I realized I had 11. I had 11 on there, so I had to get rid of it. Was Elvira, Mistress of the Dark from 1988. Here, the wonderful Elvira inherits a mansion in Massachusetts, of all places, with a poodle and a book of recipes. She turns out the recipes are actually spells, and when she tries using them, she gets accused of witchcraft by the townsfolk. It's a silly and juvenile film, but so what? I laughed out loud at various places, and it's also just cool to see horror slipping into the mainstream family movies. I thought that was a lot of fun. Look, safe to say, witches are an ideal trope for horror movies to use, and they continue to fascinate and scare the movie-going populace. But what about real-life witches? What do they think of Hollywood's portrayals of them? Well, join me in the next episode, where I'll be interviewing a lady called Becky Bird. She's a practicing witch here in the UK, who I met with, and she told me her thoughts on witchcraft and horror. And in that episode after that, the final in this series, I'm going to be sharing a magazine article that I wrote on witchcraft and the church. But until then, don't forget to subscribe and share. Follow me on Twitter and Facebook. Visit the website and podcast. And last but not least, don't forget the flicks the church forgot.